Chagiga, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, 1:1, and the Mishnah will begin as its point of departure from the verse that says, Shalosh pam b'shana, three times every year, Yera'e kol zechurcha el pnei ha'adon Hashem. All of your males shall be seen in the presence of Hashem, meaning that every Jewish male has to be present in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, or originally the Mishkan. And the Mishnah says who that comes to include. So the Mishnah starts out by saying, HaKol chayavim b're'iyah. Everyone is obligated in re'iyah. Now, re'iyah means being seen, but as I said before in the introduction, re'iyah really refers to two separate things. It refers to both actually physically being present and just being there. That's to be seen. Yera'e. In addition, there's the offering called the Olas re'iyah, the holy burnt offering that one brings to be seen, which is a separate obligation to itself, based on the pasuk which says, Lo yeru fanai rekam, you won't show up and be seen empty-handed. So you bring this olas re'iyah. And the word re'iyah can actually refer to both those phenomena, both the obligation to be seen as well as the olas re'iyah, and here it refers to both of those. So everyone has to bring one, meaning every male, chutz, and that will give exception to the rule. The first is chutz mishcheresh shota v'katan. The cheresh shota v'katan, the usual triumvirate of three who haven't got das, they're exempt from doing mitzvahs in general, and so certainly they're also exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah. The cheresh usually means the deaf mute, someone who can neither speak nor hear, and that person is assumed to have no das because no information can kind of go in or out of them. It's true here too, but in addition, someone who's either deaf or a mute is also exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah. The reason why is because there's another part in the Torah referred to as hakel, the requirement for all the Jews to appear on the sukkahs that follows the Shemitah year, meaning the first of the 7 years in the seven-year cycle. They're in the Beis HaMikdash, where the Kohen Gadol will read from Sefer Devarim. So there, there's an expression that talks about also used about re'iyah. Also, it says bavo kol Yisrael le'ra'os. All the Jews will come to be seen. And there, it's understood that the same way they're supposed to come, as the pasuk says when it comes to hakel, lema'an yishma'u, so they can hear the words that'll be read to them by the Kohen Gadol. So, I'm sorry, I'm saying Kohen Gadol, but it's the Melech, I apologize, it's the Melech. The Melech is to read. I'm in Hakel, I'm sorry. In any case, my mistake. So when they're supposed to come and hear the reading of the Devarim, it's Laman Yishmu to hear, and since there's what's called the Gezerah Shava, the connection of the two passages because of these words referring to Re'iyah, of being seen in both places, both Hakel as well as with the Regalim. So therefore, just as the Gezerah Shavah teaches, that just as there's an obligation to go to hear the Hakel, so too you have to be able to hear with your ears to do Re'iyah, and since someone who's deaf can't hear, he'll be exempt. Moreover, the Gemara even says that someone who can only hear out of one ear is also exempt from this mitzvah, because when you say Yishma'u to hear, it means like a full stereo hearing in both ears, a proper hearing, a shmiya gemura, a proper hearing. Okay, in addition, the mute happens to be exempt as well. This is a separate limud, same kind of mechanism, a gezerah shava to hakel, because the pasuk says also, it says, ulaman yilamdu, yilamdu means I'm sorry, I read that poorly. I apologize twice now. The pasuk says, laman yilmadu, in order that you will learn, but the drush is if it says laman yilamdu, as if it was vowelized to teach, and only those who can teach giving over could be obligated in hakel. Someone who can't speak can't give it over, and the Gezerah Shavah tells you just as such a person who can't speak is exempt from hakel, he's also exempt from re'iyah, the mitzvah of re'iyah. The shota is the usual shota, he is mentally incompetent. Art scroll translates as imbecile. I know, I hate that translation. It's not about IQ. It's about understanding the consequences of your actions. And someone who's out of touch with reality is a shota, and is exempt, therefore, from mitzvahs. Finally, you have the katan, who also doesn't understand the consequences of his actions. We'll discuss more in the Mishnah when the mitzvah derabban of chinuch, applies for katan, but as always, anyone below bar or bat mitzvah, here it's bar mitzvah because no women, but below bar mitzvah is always exempt midoraisa, and the katan in this is no different, therefore no children are required midoraisa to come to the mitzvah of ri'ah. In addition, since the pasuk specified that the people who have to come are zechurcha, kol zechurcha means all the male population, people who are not bona fide men are going to be bona fide males will be exempt. So you have the tumtum and androgynous are exempt. The tumtum is someone who is uncertain whether he's male or female. He has ambiguous genitalia, so you can't see if he's a male or female. The way it describes it, there's some kind of like flap of skin that covers his private parts, so you can't see. That particular condition is extremely rare nowadays to actually have a flap of skin. Perhaps it was more common previously, or perhaps the tumtum would also apply to someone who has his organs still internally and that haven't descended out of the body. And whatever the case, the point of a tumtum is that it's a suffix. It's uncertain whether they're male or female, but there actually is an answer to the question. They are male or female, just we don't know because what they have is covered up. And since we don't know what they are, so we'll treat them as being a question mark, and therefore they won't bring an olus riyah, because if it turns out that this tumtum is a female and they offered it, they're exempt, so you'd be shechting chulin in the azar, that's forbidden strictly, and therefore the tumtum doesn't bring. The androgynous also is uncertain whether he's male or female, but here it's not just a question mark because you don't know the facts. It's something intrinsically unknown about the androgynous and what his status is, because the androgynous is someone who presents both male and female body parts. Sometimes androgynous translated as hermaphrodite, not a very in vogue term nowadays. I think the best translation is androgyne, because like androgynous is the Greek word that is the combination of the word andros, which is like male, like the word android, and gonos, like between female, like gynecology. Androgynous is the male and female together, and we have an English androgynous, which is the adjective, and an androgyne, which is the noun of someone who has both. And since the person has these, you know, both male and female organs, so he is questioned whether he's male or female. The discussion at the end of Bikurim is whether it's considered a male or a female or neither or both, but not for now. The point is, androgynous is exempt from the mitzvah ri'ah. V'nashim, so too women are exempt. That's obvious because the pasuk says zechurcha, and women are not males, they're females. The reason why the Mishnah says it here is because normally the rule is that women are exempt from all mitzvahs asish hasman grama, all mitzvahs that are prompted by some event on the calendar, and certainly the three regalim would constitute a mitzvah asish hasman grama, and therefore would be exempt anyways. However, the challenges we had that gezeirah shavah that connected the ri'ah to hakel, and hakel, the mitzvah applies also to nashim v'taf, also women have to come. And therefore, one might have thought that just as women have to be present for Hakel, they have to be present for Ri'ah. And therefore, here we learn from the Pasuk, and here the Mishnah speaks it out, Nashim, women are exempt. Also, Vavadim She'enam Meshuchrarim, slaves, we're talking here about non-Jews who were acquired by Jews to become an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is, they're quasi-Jews. An Eved Kanani keeps kosher, keeps Shabbos, but they're obligated only the mitzvahs that Jewish women have to keep. Anything that a woman is exempt from, so too will an Eved Kanani be exempt from. And here in this case, since women are exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, so too will an Eved, She'enam Meshachram, that wasn't fully freed. Fine. There is a tumult here about what's the half, someone who's owned by two masters, and one is, one let him go, one didn't let him go, so he's half freed and half a slave. So the halacha, the bottom line is someone who's half Eved and half Ben Chorin, free, is pater from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. And that's what the Mishnah over here is referring to when it says that. Enam Shukrarim wasn't fully freed. Okay, this really isn't contrast to what the Bartonu brings up as the beginning of the Mishnah with the word hakol coming to add. But anyways, that's the halacha, like I said it. Now, the Mishnah goes on and it says, Hachiger, Vahasuma, Vahachola, Vahazaken, All these five people are exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah because they can't go up on their own seam. They can't go up on their own legs. And the Mishnah requires raglav. You have to be able to be someone who can go up on his own legs. You don't have to go up on your own legs. You could go up in a car or on someone else's back or something, piggyback. But you have to be able to have walked there yourself. So people who can't walk on their own are exempt. And therefore the chiger is someone who's lame, can't walk. He's exempt because he can't go on his own legs. The summa is someone who's blind. And again, a blind person can't make it up by themselves. They need some assistance. And that being the case, they'd be exempt. I'm not perfectly clear. More than that, the blind person is exempt because of the connection back to Hakel. They can't see. It's another drasha here of, although the Mishnah, the Pasuk talks about Bavo Kol Yisrael Leiraos, all the Jews should come to be seen. This is in Devarim Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. The drasha says Leiraos to teach people that they have to be able to see. Okay. Next, you have the Chola. The Chola is someone who's sick, so normally he could walk up to the Azara from Yerushalayim, but this person can't because he just happened to be sick this year. He'll be exempt this year. Hazaken, someone who's elderly, too weak to get up there. He's too old now to make the walk. So again, he'd be exempt. And finally, Mishenu Yachol Lalos Baraglav. This is someone who actually could walk. He's perfectly fine. Just his legs are so weak or atrophied because he's such, you know, has a sedentary lifestyle that he couldn't make it up the stairs. Just in terms of the actual just logistics, the access to the Har HaBayis then was up a number of stairs. You can see some of the stairs there on the southern wall, in the southern wall excavations there, just to the south of the western wall on the Har HaBayis there. You also can see where Robinson's Arch used to be. There were some stairs that led up onto the Har HaBayis. You can imagine it as something analogous to the stairs that now kind of walk up from the Kotel Plaza, if you will, up to Mizgal B'Dach. It's not exactly the same, but the Kotel Plaza today is like halfway up. It was much lower down originally, as you can see in the southern wall excavations. So if you're not strong enough to walk up all those stairs, so then you'll be exempt. Okay, fine. The mission now goes to talk about who, about the child, the katan. We said the katan, the child is exempt. The mission says, Ezu katan, who is the child who's exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah? Kol she'enu yachol lirkov al katzeifav shel aviv, v'lalos mirshalayim lahar habayis, Divrei Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, any child who's so small he couldn't even sit on his father's shoulders to be taken up to the Har HaBayis, he'll be exempt. The idea being that's a tiny child, of course, like, you know, 2 years old or something, that he can't sit on the father's shoulders. The point is that since the mitzvah here is really just to be seen, doesn't require much. So anyone who can be there should be there. And although there's a requirement to walk on your own two legs, this is a child getting mechunach, he's getting educated and prepared, and therefore, if they can't walk now, he'll be able to walk later. So Beis Shammai says, anybody who can be brought up there, who's big enough to come on his father's shoulders, has to go for chinuch. But, and by the way, when it says Har HaBayis, that's Lav Dafka. It says Har HaBayis, but the technical requirement is not just to the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, but actually specifically to the Azara, which usually they're entering the Temple Mount from the southern side. So it's quite a distance, actually, several hundred meters from the southern side where they accessed the Har HaBayis all the way across, to quite far to the northern edge, where they would go into the base English complex, you know, the Ezra's Nashim, and ultimately even to Ezra's Yisrael. Okay, Beis Hillel is more lenient, as almost always. And that being the case, he's going to say that more people are excluded, which means he's going to make the window of children who are exempt bigger, which means he's going to make the age of exemption older, and therefore he says, Beisil Omen, Kol Shinu Yachol Le'echoz Biyado Shel Aviv, anyone who's not old enough, a child who isn't old enough to hold his father's hand, V'lalos Mishalam Lahar HaBayis, and then climb up to the Har HaBayis, meaning to the Azar really, on his own legs, holding his father's hand just so he doesn't get lost, whatever it is, then he'll be exempt. Shneemar, as the Pasuk says, Shalosh Regalim. And we darshan, of course, Regalim is coming to tell you, people who can walk on their own, and therefore Beisil learns, if you can't walk on your own, you're not yet reaching the age of chinuch, and you'll be exempt. The halacha would be l'chor like Beis Hillel, of course, and therefore, Be'ez Hashem, basically, should be rebuilt very soon. We'll all go up, and all men and all boys who are able to walk up on their own two legs, even holding their father's hand, will be going, Be'ez Hashem, to be seen in the Azara during the Shalosh Regalim.